This morning, I feel like God wants to, it's not so much again about what I feel he wants to say, but what he wants to do among us. And we're on a journey here in Kingdom Faith London in a new venue, a new season. God's doing new things. And I think more than anything else, you know, God's after us. I know that would be my testimony. I'm sure many of us, if not all of us in this room, would relate to that, that actually God is after us. It's our hearts that he's after. Because God inhabits people. We need buildings to come together and to meet. But we, if you just look around the room, we as the people, we are the habitation of God. We are the church. The church, as we've been hearing in recent weeks, is made of living stones being built together. And, you know, just to refresh, you know, we're not isolated stones on our own, but God brings us together so that we can be more and do more as a house, as a habitation, as a place where the presence of God resides. And I don't know about you, but for me, there's ever since we've moved into this venue, there's just a growing sense of the presence of the Lord. Every time we worship, as we pray, it just feels like there's a growing ease and a growing sense of what God is doing. And he wants to increase that. He wants to increase that in our lives personally. He wants to increase that in our lives together corporately. And I encourage you, as you're praying throughout the week, be hungry for God. Go after that in your own life. Create space. And in the new year and even before then, we're going to be looking at various things that we can do together to help create that space for God individually and corporately for his presence to come. You know, the church and many of us in our walk with God maybe have been involved in social action, in things that are in the community. And that's very much on our heart, that the life of who we are as a church is expressed in tangible, practical ways. But we don't just want to become another social project. It's the love and the life and the power and the presence of God that marks out what we do as different. And as we cultivate that in our own lives and as we cultivate it as a body, whatever we do, the word says, and actually, in one sense, it doesn't even matter what you do. If we're being led by God, it says, whatever you put your hand to, wherever you put your foot, that presence and that anointing goes with us. Amen. And God, I just know God wants for all of us in our respective walks day by day to see the presence of God, to see answers to prayer, where he's positioned us, where he's placed us, with the people that we're rubbing shoulders with every day, that we begin to see a change. We begin to see an opening up of opportunity for God's life and his power and his love to come. Amen. I'm hungry for that. And I pray that you would just get a hold of something in God this morning as he speaks to us afresh on this next step of the journey. Now, I'm going to read to you from the book of Ecclesiastes. If you've got a Bible, you can turn there. And I do encourage you to bring your Bibles or get your phones out with your Bible on it. As long as you're only looking at your phone and not at your messages, that's fine. And it says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1, there is a time for everything. Say everything. What do you think everything means? Everything. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. And I think one of the challenging things in the Christian walk is to know the timing of God, to know the season of God. But the seasons shift and change, just like we are now entering into that sort of autumn winter stage in the natural season. There's a shifting of seasons, isn't there? And it's the same in the spirit. There's a shifting and a moving of things in God. And as we've moved into this place now, there's a shifting and there's a moving of the seasons. And I've been asking God for several weeks, okay, what is the season? What is this season that we're in? We've had a season of preparation. Remember that God spoke earlier in the year when we first sort of came And in those first sort of few weeks, and God said, this is going to be a preparation season, a season of 6 months of preparing, of God working in us. And he said he was going to prepare us to be positioned. And he's done it. He's prepared us to be positioned. He's done it in the sense of the church. And what I believe God wants to do now is that positioning for each one of us in a new way spiritually for what he wants to work in us. And as I ask the Lord, I've been just asking him generally, what is the season that we're in? And when I wasn't kind of looking for that answer, which is often the way when we hear God, isn't it? We're not kind of looking for something. The Lord, as I woke up one morning last week, he just dropped this into my spirit and he said, Helena, it's the season of war. It's time for war. And something immediately in me stood up on the inside. Now, I know that that has to be God because I actually don't like fighting. I like the seasons where it's the season of rest, or it's the season of singing, or it's the season of, you know, laying down in green pastures. And the season of war is an active season. It's a season of God causing us to stand up on the inside, to lay hold of some things in him. And it requires some effort. It requires some shaking off of things, doesn't it? And for me, on the inside, when my spirit stood up, I knew it was God, because we need the grace of God to be in the season of God. So there's grace that God's going to put on us this morning. And I want you to reach out for that in your own heart. There's grace for this season now to come upon you individually and upon us as a body together. And that's going to look like something among us. And it's going to look like something where he's positioned you out in the world. Praise God. So it's a time for war. Just say that to your neighbour. It's a time for war. Now, in war, we do two things. We fight and we defend. And sometimes, in order to defend, you have to go on the offensive. And I want you to just listen to this prophetic word. This is what God spoke to me probably about a month ago, before he spoke about this. And I've mentioned to a couple of you that God's been starting to download a prayer strategy. Some things that he wants us to do in prayer as a body that are part of his calling upon us as a people for the city, for London. And prayer ushers in the presence of the Lord. It ushers in the kingdom of God, the will of God. We know that. And you as a people, Kingdom Faith London, it has been a house of prayer. It's been a place where you've cultivated that. But there's a new season of prayer now that God wants to take us into for this new season of Kingdom Faith, this new chapter, let's put it that way, of Kingdom Faith. And God has been giving a prayer strategy. I spoke about this earlier in the year when I described the ring of fire. Do you remember that? With the north and south circular, those of you that were here, I saw the north and south circular on fire. And this ring of fire going around the north-south circular. And as we prayed, the fire went in and it covered the city. And I saw like the River Thames, which goes right through the heart of the nation and of the city and of the nation, therefore. Just saw it like this river of molten fire. Right from the throne of God. God's presence, and the fire represents in scripture his presence. God is a consuming fire, represents his love, which is like a burning, blazing fire, represents him, who he is and what he wants to do among us. And I knew when God showed me that vision, that the time would come where he'd give the strategy. I wanted immediately to go and get in my car and drive round the whole thing and start praying. And I felt God say, no, wait, just wait, because there's a season to pray. And as I say, about a month ago, God started to just download the prayer strategy around that vision and what he wants us to do. So I just want to read this script, this prophetic word, and we're going to unpack this more and more in the coming weeks, because we're actually going to go and do it. Okay? Put up your defenses like fortifying a garrison. Draw the bloodline around your borders, around your boundaries, around the north and south circular. At midnight, at the darkest moment, on a certain day, position my people on the walls, at the gateways, into the cities. Have them declare the decrees of the Lord, preventing all the strategies, tactics, and plans of the enemy, permitting, releasing, and declaring my authority, dominion, and purpose over the people, over the city. Pour oil on the stones to seal my word and release my anointing, the fire of my presence, the power of my resurrected, disarming love. Releasing the river of my presence right through the heart of the city and through the heart of the nation. And God's literally, I woke up one morning about a month ago when God was speaking about this, and he just downloaded that in what, like a minute. You know, when God speaks, it's easy, isn't it? When we try and get things from God, it's hard. But when God speaks, there's just an ease. And as I've let that settle in my spirit and just prayed into it and prayed over it, God's begun to show me and just speak to me different things that he wants us to do on a certain day. God will name the day when he wants us to do this. And, you know, you're getting to know me, many of you. I'm not one that's given to just going and pouring oil on stones, or going and praying at midnight, or doing prophetic acts, unless God speaks. It's not kind of what I do in my spare time. You know, I don't just sort of bob around doing prophetic actions. But very occasionally, when it's significant, God will give something like this that is strategic, I believe. Strategic for what he wants to do in the city. And we know that we have a particular piece to play, you know, in the jigsaw of God, in what he is building in this great city through all the churches. We know that we've got a part to play. And as long as we're faithful to what God asks of us, he will build his church. He will build his kingdom. He will cause his will to be done here in this city. Amen. So that was what God downloaded to me. I want to read to you another prophetic word. And this prophetic word was sent to me on Friday, I think, by someone else who'd seen it. And this prophetic word came from, I don't know them, but I've looked into who they are a little bit. And it's a major prophetic voice in America. It's someone who ministers prophetically and has done for several decades. And is a credible voice of prophetic teaching, I would say, with an international ministry. This person visited the United Kingdom recently. And in fact, I think it was in the last couple of weeks. It was very recent. And they said, when I stepped into the United Kingdom in September, I clearly heard the Lord say, London is the landing page. A landing page is an entry point, a gateway. The Lord showed me that the church in London must stand at the gates and decide what is allowed in, what is shut out, what is to be shut out of Europe's spiritual atmosphere. Church in London, God has given you authority as gatekeepers in the spirit to bind on earth what is bound in heaven and to loose on earth what is loosed in heaven. As a prophetic act, stand at the gates of your city. Declare that the King of Glory reigns. Welcome Jesus to take his rightful place in your city and your nation. You are to lock the gates to the demonic forces invading Europe. And my spirit leapt when I heard that, because it was a direct confirmation of what I'd been asking the Lord for. Because on the North and South Circular, I've drawn it all out months ago and I've marked the gateways. And it's on those gateways that God wants us to go on that specific day and pour oil. Why is pouring oil important? Oil, if you remember Joseph when he had the dream and he met with God in the place that he then named Bethel, remember? What did he do? He poured oil on the stones to consecrate it. The oil represents the presence of God, consecration, setting apart something for God. And everyone who touched those stones, it says, was consecrated. They were either consecrated or they died. Like the Kohathites who had to carry the ark. They weren't allowed to touch the presence of the Lord because it was holy. And we believe that as we fulfill what God is asking of us, as this prophetic act, and we're going to spend some time preparing to do that, I'm writing some decrees at the moment that we're going to be together declaring out at those gateways. And we'll be fasting, we'll be preparing ourselves, releasing our faith together for what God wants to do. Does that mean it's all going to happen on that day? No, but something powerful is going to happen as we are obedient to what God is saying. And this is a prophetic thing that God is saying to the church in London. Maybe others will join us as we begin to speak about it. We know the guys in Horsham have already said to us they want to come up and be part of that. So we're just going to have to put some structure around it to make it available, make it possible so that everyone knows where they can be. And I've been studying this last week, and this is now going to link into what God wants to do with us this morning. I've been studying about Nehemiah and the walls of Jerusalem, and God called Nehemiah to rebuild the walls because the walls were broken down. The walls had come under siege, they'd come under attack, and the city, therefore, had been ravaged. So the call of God on Nehemiah was to rebuild the walls. And the first thing that he did is he went to the gates and he apportioned different people. And, you know, there's one whole chapter in Nehemiah where it lists each person and what part of the wall they were to rebuild. And in many occasions, as you read through Nehemiah, it says, like, Jack or John or whoever. Sorry, I'm picking out Jack's name there, but it names the person. It says they fixed the wall outside of their house, outside of their area. And we're going to encourage you to go to the gateway that's closest to where you live, unless God speaks to you about another gateway. They took personal ownership. Something happened personally for them where they took ownership of that section of the wall. And they set to work. And many of you, hopefully, you know, maybe all of you have read that story and have gleaned something from it in terms of what God has said to you personally. And there's lots that we can draw out of that. And then together, they fulfilled the rebuilding of those walls. Why? So that the city could be fortified. So that the city could be what it was meant to be, which was a safe place, a place of habitation where they could live and dwell in safety. Others could come in, where they could enjoy the fruit of the land. And you see, God wants to do a radical thing in this city, not just in the spirit, but in people's lives. He wants to reach Jonah, who sits out of Oxford outside of Oxford Circus Station. He wants to reach Janet and all the other homeless people that we meet. He wants to meet not just the homeless people, but the people who work in the Gherkin and the Lloyd's building and the Shard. God wants to invade this city with his life, with his hope, with his presence, with his righteousness, with his justice and with his truth. Because he's got a purpose for this city. He's got a purpose for this nation. And scripture makes that clear, that there, God has purposes for nations, not just for individuals. But the city walls have to be rebuilt before the land can be taken. One of the other things that God spoke to us about was about dispossessing the land. Do you remember that? It's not just about possessing, but dispossessing, which means to go in and oust the enemy and then take ownership. And the Lord spoke to me as I was preparing about what he wanted to do this morning. And he said, there's a lot of rubble that I want to clear out of the way. Now, where's my props? Here we go. They're geared up for this. And it says, let me just read to you from Nehemiah. While those guys bring the props. Okay, it says, we rebuilt the wall till all of it reached half its height, for the people worked with all their hearts. But when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the men of Ashdod heard that the repairs of Jerusalem's walls had gone ahead and that the gaps were being closed, they were very angry. And they all... That's it, guys. Just pop it in the middle there. Pull it back here a bit. That's great. And I can get in front of it. That's brilliant. Thank you. the repairs of Jerusalem's walls had gone ahead. And there were gaps being closed. They were very angry. And they all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and stir up trouble against it. Who knows that whenever you start to step out in something, someone else has got an opinion about it? Have you noticed that? Or maybe it's just that nagging voice of the enemy in your ear. Whenever you begin to step forward in something, that there's that voice that says, what are you doing? Not you. Maybe so-and-so over there, but you? God use you. God do that through you. And this nagging voice, this voice of intimidation, this voice of lies, actually comes. And that's the context as they began to build, that as soon as the enemy heard, as soon as he heard, he began to speak things. Began to speak, what are you doing? You can't do that. And it says here, we prayed to our God and we posted a guard day and night to meet this threat. But the people in Judah said, the strength of the laborers is giving out. Why? Because there's so much rubble that we cannot rebuild the wall. And remember, we are a city set on a hill, says in Matthew 5. That's who you are personally as a Christian. That's how Jesus likened you as the light of the world, a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden. A fortified place of safety, of life, of habitation. Everything that a safe city on a hill should be. That's you individually and that's us as the body of Christ. But he said there's rubble. There's too much rubble. And this is the rubble. There's all this rubble on the floor. It's just everywhere. And what did the rubble represent? Well, the rubble represented past defeats. Attacks from the past where the wall was broken down. Failure. represented failure, represented fear. And there's a whole pile of things we're going to pray through. But there was so much rubble, it says, that the workers and the strength of the workers, they were trying to climb over the rubble to build the wall. But there was so much of it because the walls had been broken right down. Now, God has been taking us through a process as a church, where as a church, he's been rebuilding us, making us equipped, ready for the new season that he wants to take us in. Not because we were a broken down wall. I'm not using that analogy, and that's where the analogy falls down in terms of the church. But in our own personal lives, I felt God say there's some rubble that he wants to clear out. And I know for me this week, I've been getting rid of some rubble in my life. I've been asking God to show me what's the rubble in my life. What are the things in my life that are stopping me from moving forward? They're in the way. They're sapping my strength. And actually, I want to see the walls built up where there's that rubble. And actually, what God said to me is the rubble from the past, those past failures, those past defeats, that they actually become, what do they become? They become the building blocks for the future. The very thing where the enemy has lied to us and told us, you can't, you failed, broken relationship. Marriage, you get married? No. The very thing that the enemy says to us about our finances, you be a success in business, just points to that failure. Now, health. You won't ever be totally free. That's what the enemy says. And he points to those things where we've got to a place where we look at the rubble and we tolerate it. We manage to walk over it, but it's rubble at our feet. And God said to me, this is the time now where I'm going to take the rubble, rubble cleared out of the way, because the rubble now is going to become the building blocks for your future. The very things that the devil has said to you where you failed, maybe sin, maybe that bit of rubble represents sin. You blew it big time. And the devil constantly comes and reminds you of that sin. And you feel like you'll never be free. Can represent a whole pile of things. And we can come to a place where, like the children of Israel, they just had got used to the rubble. They'd got used to a broken down wall. And you might say, well, actually, no, I feel all right. You know, my house is pretty good. The walls are in good shape. And this is where, you know, we've done quite a bit of speaking about this, where we impact on one another. If the city walls are broken, if the house, the walls of our corporate house are broken down in any way, then guess what? Your house is going to be affected by that. Your security, your belongings in your house, if you can look at it that way. It's where we need one another. And in Nehemiah, when the enemy was attacking, they worked with their swords on their hips. And it says, as some worked, the others stood there with their swords. Why? Because there was an enemy attacking as they did the work. And maybe you look at your life and think, you know, I've just got to wait. I don't, you know, all this prayer stuff, all this prophetic stuff, all this laying down your life for one another in church. you know, all this stuff about living stones and life groups and, you know, why do I have to do that? You know, I've got far too much going on in my life. I'm way too busy for that. And, you know, I'm not sorted. I've got to sort my own house out. And yet we see from the book of Nehemiah that what did they do? They blew the trumpet when the enemy was still attacking them. He was attacking them from all sides. And where there was a gap, the trumpet blew and they all rallied over to that place and they began to fight for one another. God's not saying, wait till your own house is all sorted and then I'll use you. Because if he did that, he'd never use any of us. But he's saying, no, we need to fight and work and stand with one another. And you know, Jonathan and I, our job as leaders, if you take it from Nehemiah, we've got your back. I want you to hear that from us. We've got your back, every one of you. That's what it says about the leaders. They position themselves behind the people. Not because they weren't doing the work, but they were covering their backs as they worked, as they focused. We've got your backs. We're not perfect, but we've got your backs in prayer. So, what are we going to do with all this rubble? God wants to clear it out of the way. And there's a bunch of things. I've mentioned a few of them. There's a bunch of things that God wants to do. And maybe there's something that you identify, the Holy Spirit's just talking to you about yourself in your own life to deal with. How do we deal with this rubbish? How do we see the rubble from past defeats become the building blocks for our future? We do the thing that the enemy does. But we do it with all the authority of heaven behind us, and we speak. When Jesus was tempted by the devil, when he was in the wilderness, he was led into that place of hardship and difficulty by the Lord, by the Spirit. And in that place, the devil came and tempted him. Turn these stones into bread. And what did Jesus do? He said, "It is written." And in Ephesians chapter 6, we're told that we're given a sword, that sword is the word of God. Now, I believe, and I've done some teaching on this a while ago, that there is a specific word that God will give you for specific rubble. There's a now word, and it might be a scripture. Normally it is. It's a scripture that God will give you that's for that specific area where you failed or the enemy has come. Some of that rubble, you know, that rubble could be injustice. That rubble could be someone else's sin toward you. And it's an injustice and you just can't get over. Every time you try and go forward, there's this sense of injustice. Because of what was done to you, what happened to you. And God has given us a sword. Just as Jesus said to the enemy, "It is written." And actually, as Nehemiah, listen to this, what Nehemiah said when they came to him. Listen to this. One day I went to the house of Shemaiah. Oh, hang on. No, I'll go back a little bit. Okay, so basically the backdrop of chapter 6, All these reports are coming to Nehemiah. The enemy is speaking something to try to intimidate him. And I sent this reply, Nehemiah says, nothing like what you are saying is going to happen. You are just making it up out of your head. Do you know, I think that's a brilliant thing to say to the enemy. Nothing like what you're going to say to me or what you're saying to me, enemy, is going to happen. You're just making it up out of your head. What a great prayer. Devil, you're making it up. That's a lie. And he spoke this, Nehemiah. And then he went to the house of somebody else, another believer actually, or Jew, a member of Israel. And this person said, oh, come, let's go and let's hide in the house of God, inside the temple. Let's close the temple doors. Men are coming to kill you. They might come at night and they're coming to kill you. And sometimes that voice can even come from well-meaning people. And actually, in this case, it wasn't well-meaning. He was hired by the enemy. He'd been paid off, this guy, as part of the opposition. And Nehemiah says, should a man like me run away? It's a question. Should someone like me be intimidated by that? Should I run away from my financial ruin in the past? Should I run away from my relational trail of brokenness? Should I run away from the injustice that was done to me? Nehemiah says, or should one like me go into the temple to save his life? You know, and sometimes I think we have a mentality like that as Christians, that we just, oh God, I've got to go to church because, oh, it's the only safe place for me. And yes, church is a hospital. It's a place of healing. It's a place of safety. But it's also a garrison. It's a place of training. It's a place of equipping. And God is saying to us, it's time for war. And for some of us, probably all of us, are going to be challenged by this. Some of us more than others. Because we're so used to church being just the hospital. And God's saying, no, I'm training you. I'm equipping you. And part of that training is enabling you to take a hold of your past failure, defeat, where the enemy came and attacked you, you taking a hold of it and saying, right, that's going in the wall. That's going to be a brick that allows God to do something in my future. My Bible says in Romans 8:28 that for those that love God and accord according to his purpose, he turns everything for good. Everything. The very worst thing you can think of in your life, he turns everything for good. Nehemiah said, should I run to the house of God? He has prophesied against me because he was hired by the enemy. He's been hired what? To intimidate me. So that I would commit sin by doing this. And then that would give me a bad name to discredit me. That's what the enemy wants. He wants to cause us to give in to the fear, give in to the intimidation, give in to the lies, give in to whatever that voice is that comes to cause us to sin. Unbelief is sin. Everything that is not of faith is sin, the word says. To tolerate things, what we tolerate becomes our normal. We had an old bit of carpet in our garage for years. You've got it in your house somewhere. There's something that's been there for years. And we stepped over this bit of carpet every time we went into the garage for years. And eventually I thought, do you know what? I am fed up of stepping over that bit of carpet. And we chucked it out. And I thought, why did we not chuck that out years ago? For years, we've been stepping over this bit of jolly carpet. You know, why are you tolerating that? And in fact, put it in the wall. Amen. So, we need to do some business with God. Let's stand. I've mentioned broken relationships. This is my rubble. Okay? This is my rubble. When I came to God this week, I said, right, what's my rubble? Broken relationships. Where's the brokenness in relationships? Just close your eyes now before the Lord. Because in a minute, every one of you that wants to, and this is your choice, you're going to come and get a brick that's going to represent. You might even want to get two bricks. You might even have an armful. I don't know. That's up to you. But you're going to come and pick up one of these bricks from the floor. Maybe it's a broken relationship. Be specific. Be specific here. Specific prayers get specific answers. Name that brick, that bit of rubble. In fact, it's not actually a brick. It's rubble until it becomes a brick. A living stone that God places in your future. And if you can see yourself placing it prophetically in your future. Have you allowed intimidation? That was a big one for me. Wow. Just to be intimidated, maybe by a person, maybe by a circumstance. Allowing yourself to be intimidated. Injustice, something done to you that should never have been done. You've never got over it. Or you've tried, but you keep stumbling. Health. That might be illness. It might just be general fitness. But that's an issue because you know you've tried in the past to just get fit and failed. And it becomes a bigger mountain every time you try and fail. There's anointing on this morning. And there's grace that this is going to get turned now. A past failure gets turned into a living stone for your future. Prayer, maybe it's to do with your prayer life. And the rubble is just lack of discipline. Maybe you prayed something and it didn't happen. And a disappointment came in. And you never really got over that. It's time to pick that bit of rubble up. Pick up your prayer life. Put it like a living stone in the wall. Maybe there's some rubble about church. Disappointed in people. Weary in faith. Whatever it is. Maybe it's sin. There's a failure. There's something that keeps tripping you up. Thank you, Lord. Okay, let's just pray now in this place. I'm asking, Holy Spirit, that you would come right now and that you would speak to each person here. You'd speak to them, Lord. Show them what you're putting your finger on so that the rubble can be cleared out, that the rubble can become purposeful. Everything that the enemy has said and done can be turned around. And I just want you one by one, we're going to make some declarations. We're going to speak some things out this morning over these. But I want you to come and get a bit of rubble that represents, but let it represent, you know what it represents. You can get one, you can get two, you can get as many as you like that represent the specific things and you can take as many as you like. God's a generous God. And this is actually, I believe this is actually, it's a holy moment, actually. Because it's an acknowledgement of God. And within this, we're making a declaration. You're making it personally. But we're making it over our own lives and over us as a church. That we're rebuilding the wall. That there's not going to be any gaps in this wall. That this is going to be a place of safety, a place of life. Why? So that we can then go and get our inheritance in this city. We can go and get it, knowing that we have a safe place, a refuge, the house of God, that city set on a hill. So what I think would be good to do, I'm going to lead us in a confession of faith, in a declaration. You can make your own as well, but I'm going to lead us in one because it's good for us to hear the sound of our own voices speaking out. And I think we should lift these up. I think we should physically, you don't have to lift them right up, but we're putting them up. See, it's like you're putting them in. So let's speak this out boldly. Let's speak this out with faith. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, just repeat this. In the name of Jesus, I confess that this, and then name it, whatever it is, this failure, this sin, this fear, this intimidation, this money issue, this relationship issue, whatever it is, this, in the name of Jesus, I'm reclaiming it. What the enemy meant for harm, today, Lord, you are building into my future. The devil's a liar. He's made it up. Everything he's spoken is not true. And I'm choosing today to speak truth, that I do not have a spirit of fear, but a spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. That I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That I am more than a conqueror. And I speak this over this rubble. And I say, rubble, rubble of my past failures, you become a living stone for my future. For the purpose of God in my life. And I give myself, Lord, to the very thing that the enemy has tried to use. I give myself to you. And I say, have your way, Lord. Have your way, Lord. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, let's just clap the Lord. Let's just thank him. Just thank him. Just let praise come out of your house. I think we need to sing that song again. Let's sing that song about coming out of the grave bit, that one. And we just, you can keep a hold of those if you like. You can hold them up. Let God minister to you as you worship, as you sing. There's anointing here for grace to come upon us. Amen. Amen. We've not finished yet. Okay, that's a couple of words that I believe God wants me to just release. And then, but if this is you, then just receive it from the Lord, because there's anointing. And I felt God say, no holding back. No holding back. If there's any area in your life you know you're holding back, God's saying, no holding back. Just make that choice. That's rubble. It's rubble that's held you back. God's saying there's no holding back now. It's almost like there's been a handbrake on and you've been moving forward, but there's always this thing that's kind of held you back. God's saying, no holding back. So in the name of Jesus right now, if that's you, lift your hands. Just receive from the Lord. Make that declaration in your own heart. God, I'm not holding back anymore. Where I've held back in that area, forgive me. God, I'm not holding back anymore. I'm having everything that you've said, everything that you've promised, everything that I know is on your heart for me, Father, because you are all powerful. You are all powerful. That thing, that situation is not powerful. You are all powerful, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now we're going to pray. I want us to pray for someone particularly. And we're going to pray for Carolina. Those of you around her, just gather around her. God's been speaking to me about you all week. So just gather around her. Those of you that know her. Carolina, God wants to really honor you this morning. I've been praying for you all week. And God wants to say to you that there's been years of hiddenness. There's been years of things that you have just faithfully done. Faithfully serving God, serving others. And God just wants to say to you very publicly today that He is honoring you, that He has seen. He has seen. And that the years of sowing now are going to turn into a reaping. And you're going to be so surprised. You're going to be so surprised by what God does from this day onwards. It's like God is lifting something off of you. And in that place, it's like you just feel a lightness and God just releasing something. So in the name of Jesus, right now, just receive, receive. Receive from him. Kirada Haramandoro Moshe.